Listen, put me in the parking lot, you know, with bears, and I'll go out there and play. It don't matter.
You are Locked On Auburn, your daily podcast on the Auburn Tigers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Yes, welcome on in to Locked On Auburn, your daily Auburn Tigers podcast. Happy Friday. Happy Ferg Friday. Zach Blackerby here with you, joined by the one and only Justin Ferguson with the Auburn Observer. How are you?
I'm all right. How are you?
Good. Thanks for slumming it over here with us today. stopping by Feinbaum earlier in the week. But this is the real guest appearance you're excited about.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's one of those things where it's like the Feinbaum producer texts me and he's like, hey, you want to come on? And it's like, all right. And he's like, would you like to do FaceTime or phone? And like the... Yeah, I'm so bad at like appearing on camera, because the last time I did it for Feinbaum, I knew I was looking like I was like looked super nervous and I couldn't ever keep my like focus straight. And he was like, "Oh yeah, we're doing phone this time." So 100%, you are going to just get me in an audio only format. So
nice,
y'all will appreciate this today. At least this is not a video podcast.
That's funny. Jaws, we're gonna bring Jaws, former intern Jaws, out of the corner today. How are you?
I'm glad to be out. I'm so happy to be able to talk.
Yeah, it's cramped up over there. Yeah. I know. No, I'm glad you're here. Justin, we're playing a game today.
All right.
I didn't tell you this.
Nope, I know nothing about this.
But we're gonna play overrated or underrated.
Oh boy.
I'm gonna read you a thing, and okay, we're gonna let Jaws answer too out of his corner. And I just want you to tell me if the hype surrounding whatever I say, it's all Auburn football related, if you believe it's overrated or underrated.
All right. Let's do it.
Simple enough?
Yeah.
That work?
Yeah.
All right. Devin Barrett moving to running back. Is that overrated or is that underrated?
Underrated. I don't think it's being talked about enough, because depth is so key at the running back position. And Auburn was down to two scholarship guys in Tank Bigsby and Sean Shavers. You need three at least. Devin Barrett, you know, he was just caught behind a bunch of people when the last time he was a running back. He was a good running back. He was a good running back in high school. It's just that experience to translate over. I think it's a much more needed spot for him. I mean, I don't think he's going to come in and, you know, necessarily run for 1,000 yards next year. But to have that third option would be pretty key. And what I'm also interested in is, you know, Tank Bigsby and Sean Shivers, you know, not necessarily known for catching the ball out of the backfield a ton. Barrett did more of that when he was a running back. He did that a lot in high school. He's played corner. He's got some kind of natural receiver ability to
him. He came in for his patented the swing pass.
Yes. He was
so good at that.
He was Harold Joyner before Harold Joyner. And so I think given that kind of weapon, you know, he could be very helpful in that regard, and maybe even a third down guy if you need him to be.
Former intern Jaws?
Yeah, I'd agree, simply because of depth. I would say it's a very underrated move.
All right, Justin, Tadarian Moultrie or T.D. Moultrie moving to middle linebacker? Is that overrated or is it underrated?
So I think it's slightly overrated just because there's so much depth at linebacker, right? And like, I don't know how they're going to put all the pieces together. We talked about it a couple weeks ago. Like, I don't know how they're going to put it all together on the defensive line. Linebacker, moving back to linebacker could be really, really good for him. But also, like, he's at a position group that's got Zacoby McClain, Owen Papo, Chandler Wooten's back in. Cam Riley finished strong last season. There's a ton of depth at linebacker. And, like, do I think T.D. Moultrie has the natural ability to come in and pop there? Sure.
Yeah.
But, like, he's got a lot to compete against at that linebacker group. So I don't know how much of an impact that's going to make on the defense next season, just because you know, he's got a long road to climb, basically.
Jaws?
I would agree. I feel like Auburn has two or three different guys that they could put there, so I don't really care who they find to put in that middle linebacker spot in a 3-4. So I feel like it's a little bit overrated. I wouldn't necessarily say it's a good or a bad thing.
No.
Just like, all right.
I mean, even us here, like, we hyped it up. Like, it's been hyped up.
Right, no, for sure. And I think it's a better fit for him than, you know, edge rusher.
I agree.
You know, right now. And I feel like if Auburn was in this kind of system, you know, when he came in, he probably stays a linebacker. That was his natural position in high school. He's really good at it, but not really necessarily that base 4-2-5, you know, Kevin Steele style linebacker wouldn't have been a great fit for him. Makes more sense for him right now. It's just going to be a matter of, like, where he carves out a role at.
All right, both of you mentioned the 3-4. So, overrated or underrated? Auburn's defense switching to the 3-4.
Overrated. Ooh!
Because I agree.
Spicy!
Because we don't know if it's going to be a 3-4. Could be a 4-3. Could be a multiple. Could be anything.
Yeah.
I mean, Derek Mason is very clear in his pass stops. You know him as a 3-4 guy. Even Auburn's press release announcing his hire said he created the Stanford 3-4 defense. Mm-hmm. I mean, he ran a 4-man front a lot at Vanderbilt. I think some of that was because of the type of players they had there and that you kind of had to make the most of it. It's going to be a tough transition, and I think they could do some of everything. You go back and watch some of those Vanderbilt games, they'd be 3 down on one play, 2 down on the next play, 4 down, 1 down, 0 down. Like they did a bunch of different stuff moving around. And I think a better fit for this system is like, hey, you're going to have at least 5 or 6 defensive backs on the field on every single play. And then everyone else is going to be kind of like in this wide up front. Mm-hmm. And like some people can drop back, some people can blitz. Your defensive tackle is probably always going to be, you're not going to drop those guys back in coverage, but everybody else can blitz, everybody else can cover, and that's going to be kind of the thing, and it's going to look like a lot of different things, I think.
Yeah, Belichick called that a prowl, where he'd have, like, Vince Wilfork down with his hand on the ground, but everybody else would be standing up.
There was a Dave Aranda, when he was at Wisconsin, he kind of pioneered this defense that was really, really cool at Wisconsin, where they would have 0 down linemen. They would just stand everybody up, walk them around, and like teams did not know how to handle it at the start because it was like,
I mean, can you imagine Auburn's offensive line trying to block that?
Yeah, it's tough. It was tough for really good Big Ten offensive linemen to kind of sit back and diagnose and like,
you got to make decisions without being able to talk to people,
right?
Like, that's tough.
Yeah, it is really, really tough. And so I think you're going to get some of that inventiveness, maybe not a 0 down look, but like some of that inventiveness is going to be out there.
So, Jaws, you think switching to 3-4, that the hype around that's overrated?
Right, because I feel like it's not just going to be the 3-4. I feel like it's going to be a lot of different things. But whenever they do switch to a 3-man front, I'm really concerned that Auburn's not going to be able to stop the run game. We saw it this year, and I feel like Auburn's a little undersized at that position. That's just my personal opinion. I don't know if a lot of people agree with me on that, but I just feel like Auburn may have a difficult time stopping the run next year.
Sure. You're listening to Locked On Auburn. Today's show brought to you by our friends at BetOnline.ag. BetOnline is the fastest, easiest, and best way to bet on all your sports action. Sure, football's over, but the NBA and college basketball and the NHL are in full swing. And speaking of swinging, the MLB and college baseball will be back before you know it. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. And real updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. And live betting is where you can, this is the place to go. You know, you watch the first half of a game and you got a feeling of, where the second half is going to go. Head over to betonline.ag and live bet that thing. Make you some money. And when you sign up at betonline.ag, use promo code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON, no spaces, Locked On, to get a 50% welcome bonus to your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. All right, overrated, underrated, Jay Ferg. Let's go with Bo Nix.
Oh, boy. Oh, man.
You're like, I didn't sign up for this, yeah, man. This don't
one,
put me on the spot.
This one's tough because I think it depends on who you ask. Because I think the opinions on Bo Nix, I mean, they're split within the Auburn fan base.
You're right.
Is he good? Is he bad? Is he what? My thing is for Bo Nix is like, if you have the opinion that Bo Nix is a talented quarterback who's just very inconsistent and has had, a hard time kind of locking in, that's the perfect rating. So anywhere above or below that, whatever you think, oh, he's awesome, oh, he's terrible. No, right now he has had his good moments and he's had his bad moments. Consistency is going to be the big thing with him, because my thing I've always told people about Bo Nix is that pretty much every game he's played at Auburn, you watch the film, there's about 10 or 15 plays each game where you're like, that dude was a 5-star. That's why he's got it. It's just got to happen a little bit more often. So, I mean, it's a cop-out. I think, honestly, it's just how you feel about it. I think, some people overrate him and some people underrate him inside this fan base. I think very few people have just like, hey, this is who he is at this point.
Sure. Jaws, you got an opinion on that?
Yeah, I feel like Nix is incredibly inconsistent, so it's kind of really difficult to kind of pin him down accurately. I feel like it's just a subjective opinion in the Auburn fan base. I'm going to say, considering he takes so much flack, I'm going to say that he's a little underrated, just given the plays that we've been able to see, just the natural ability.
I like that lean. I really do like that lean, because I think some of the stats that he's put up are not all on him. Right. And I wrote a story on Thursday about like pass protection, how important that was for him, because I don't know if y'all know this, but at the Super Bowl, if you can't block anybody, you can be Patrick Mahomes and still have a really hard time getting anything going.
I love that we got to see Bo Nix be compared to Pat Mahomes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
This is great.
It was nice to see. Not for the reasons you'd want, but it was nice to see.
I want to see if Bo has a throw this year where he's like completely parallel to the ground when he lets it go, like Mahomes did.
Two of the most impressive incompletions I've ever seen.
Yeah, and should have been catches. Yes. Both of them should have been catches.
One of them for sure. The one in the corner of the end zone where he just kind of threw it up. It's like, nah, that would have been tough. Yeah. But the one on like fourth and five or whatever when he was like...
Hit him in the head?
How did he do that?
I mean, he lets go of the ball. He's completely flat to the ground, like he is like throwing it like a baseball player, like getting torn up on a double play.
And obviously it's an extreme example, but we've seen moments where like Bo Nix is running around and he just throws it to the sideline and like somebody would catch it. And it's like, okay, he's got the arm talent. It's just like, you know, can he control it? Can you bring it all home? But every now and then we see those moments. And it's like, yes, give me more of that.
There would be a few times last season, even in games he struggled, he'd have a third down throw and it's a dot, and you're like, ah, there it is. Like there's the five-star quarterback. It's just got to be consistency. And why is it not consistent? Who knows? Like, it could be part scheme, it could be part of his offensive line, it could be his receivers, it could be him. I think it's some of all of the above, and it's on Auburn to kind of fix that.
Yeah, the offensive reset with coordinators, with scheme, with talent that he's going to be throwing to, I think it's going to be good.
No shade against Gus Malzahn and what he's done as an offensive coach, because I'm of the opinion that when Gus Malzahn's offense worked, it really, really worked, and it was hard to stop for anybody. You're now bringing in a head coach and an offensive coordinator, though, that are quarterback guys. Like, both of those guys played the position at the college level. They played it really, really well. They spent a lot of their careers developing that position.
All right, let's do a overrated or underrated Auburn's defensive line going into next year.
I think there's so much worry about that group that I think they're a little bit underrated.
They got some
playmakers up there. Like, I'm very curious. I don't know where all the pieces are going to fit, but I really like Derek Hall and I really like Colby Wooden. I think you can build around those two guys really, really well. I think getting a guy like Eku Leota is going to be helpful for your edge rushing, which is a group that's had a hard time the last few years. They've got talent. There's a lot of depth up there. It's just like, how are they going to put it all together? I mean, you gotta go back and look. Like, if you just take raw recruiting talent on that defensive line, there is still a ton of it. And oh yeah, Auburn's, you know, two best signees, two of the top three, I believe, of their top signees from this past class were both defensive tackles. Like, they're continuing to bring in talent up front.
Yeah, Lee Hunter is gonna play this year.
Lee Hunter looks like, I mean, he looks like a guy that can kind of do a lot of different things for you, especially if you're switching up this front. I mean, he's so disruptive. You look at his high school stats, you know, when he played, a guy that just really, really gets after it in the backfield. And you pair those with guys like Wooden and Hall that have already shown a pretty good ability to get after people in the backfield at an SEC level. I think there's a lot of potential there.
Jaws, you got any thoughts on that? Overrated, yeah. Underrated?
Yeah, I expressed my concerns about the defensive line earlier in the podcast, but I would say they are a little bit underrated just based off of how underhyped I have them in my own mind. I would say that they're probably better than what I think they are. So, you
okay.
know, we'll see what happens.
And you're not alone, because I think this defense has the pieces to be really, really, really good next season. It's just going to come down to how much can they get after the pass rusher, especially on third downs, and how that defensive line, like you said, holds up against the running, because the linebackers in the secondary should be pretty strong.
All right, let's go to the other side of the line of scrimmage. Auburn's offensive line.
Ooh. Okay, so... All right.
You're like, I didn't sign up for this.
Yeah, sack. This one.
I come in every week to help you out. What are you doing?
this one's interesting because experience matters a ton on the offensive line. We've been told that for forever. But also, talent matters on the offensive line.
Right.
Auburn has not recruited high-level talent on the offensive line. It's kind of shown. One of the things that I found really interesting in my story that I wrote on Thursday is that when Brandon Council went down, Auburn's offensive line was never the same again from a pass protection standpoint.
This is a Brandon Council podcast, by the way.
It should be. He was a really good player. I mean, him, you look at all the grades or whatever, is him and Tayshaun Manning that were your kind of consistent guys. Now, Brodarius Ham getting hurt, you know, that kind of affected that for a little bit. But I don't know, man, like – I think there's a notion that since they're just older, they're going to be better next season, and I would push back on that. I would push back on that just because you know, there's a lot of stuff on the offensive line where talent means a ton. I mean, you look at the championship contenders that have awesome offenses. They put a ton of blue chip talent on their offensive line. Look at Alabama. They just won every award an offensive line could win. Mac Jones is not a particularly awesome quarterback, but he put up better numbers than Tua. I mean, this dude's not even expected to go in the top 10 of the draft, and he put up these ridiculous numbers because everybody knew that he had all day to throw the ball when he was back there. And so that's really key. So, I mean, slightly, ever so slightly overrated, and I'm just only saying to push back on the notion that just because this group is older doesn't mean they're necessarily going to be a lot better. But it's still early, and, like, I would expect to see some transfers up there. I would expect to see a different kind of way of going about business with this offensive change and how Will Friend coaches.
Jaws?
Yeah, I would probably lean overrated just a little bit, but I kind of want to just can I get a push on this one? Because I don't really feel either way. I just feel like the offensive line is just a little subpar, and that's just the way it is. And
you say they're properly rated?
Yeah.
And there's enough people in this fan base that are like, oh, the offensive line is such a mess right now that they're never going to be. You know,
well,
there's no
I think
way
that's
to,
a big chunk of the fan base. Yeah, and that's why my answer to this is actually I think they're slightly underrated because
I understand that. Yeah.
And largely due to injury. I think if this whole even if you don't change out any of the personnel, I think they get better. And also with the scheme and I think what Harsin's going to do, I think it's going to help them out just because I think it's going to be less predictable of what they're going to be doing. And so I think that's going to help them to some extent. I think they're going to run better passing patterns, and it's going to help Bo Nix out. I think he's going to like actually take the snap with a plan, and so I think it's going to be easier to block for a guy like that. I think this new coaching staff is going to make it easier to block for Nix also because I think they're going to keep him in the pocket more. I think there's going to be a lot of factors that help this offensive line get better from last year to this year. So I'm saying they're underrated.
And one thing I would say if I wanted to – you know, lean on your side. This offensive line, I mean, I know a lot of it was Tank Bigsby last season, but this offensive line, you look at them statistically, was better at run blocking than their counterparts from a year earlier, that experienced group. They're going to run the ball. They're going to try to do it. They're going to let, you know, Bigsby eat in a lot of different ways because you've got so many question marks of who's going to step up a wide receiver and all that, and how much better Bo Nix is going to be. You just know that this offense is better when Tank Bigsby's running the ball, and I think this offensive line plays better when they get a block for it.
You're listening to Locked On Auburn. Today's show brought to you by our friends at rockauto.com. You've heard me talk about this before. I'm going to say it again. I mean, with the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's impossible for all these chain storefronts to have all the parts available for your car, truck, or your SUV. So they're probably going to do the same thing that you could do. They're just going to order it, and they're going to order it from a place where they're limited to just a few brands based on who their company currently has deals with. RockAuto.com, you can pull it up in your phone's internet browser or you know your computer at home. Doesn't matter where it is, RockAuto.com. You're going to be able to pull it up from anywhere, and you're going to be able to get any product that you want at a significantly lower price. RockAuto.com, they've been in business for over 20 years. They're fantastic. And they really take care of their folks. RockAuto.com. Head over there right now. See all the parts available for your car, your truck, or your SUV. Right, Locked On Auburn in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, and all the parts your car will ever need. That's at RockAuto.com. All right, I got a few more, Jay Ferg. But before we jump into that, what's going on at the Auburn Observer, and how can folks sign up for it?
Yeah, a lot of basketball going on right now, obviously, with Auburn Hoops heading into the stretch run of the SEC season. But, you know, got some football stuff earlier in the week. I wrote a story about how, you know, Auburn's football facility is not a guarantee that they're going to be better at recruiting. I think that's one of the biggest misconceptions about investing in facilities
in all of
college football. So you can check that out. And that's not just me saying that. There's research, there's numbers in there from people a lot smarter than me that put it out there. And then the story I mentioned earlier on Thursday about Bo Nix and pass protection and how much that's important. Friday mailbag, as always, a couple of podcasts a week as well. AuburnObserver.com, $6 a month or $60 a year. Sign up there, and it all gets emailed straight into your inbox.
Yeah, worth every penny. AuburnObserver.com. Overrated or underrated? AuburnObserver.com, definitely underrated. Check it out.
I thought you were asking me that. And I'm like, oh. Depends on who you talk to.
The Auburn tight end position.
Oh,
I think that's Auburn football fans' favorite position to discuss.
Yes.
So do you think it's overrated or underrated?
Underrated, just because I think there's some, like, I'll believe it when I see it when they start throwing the ball. But, like, they started throwing the ball a little bit more. I think the revolution was coming. I think you had to see how they were recruiting. And with the way Chad Morris uses tight ends in the past, like, if this is the same staff in 2021, I think they throw the ball a lot more to those guys. There's just so much talent there.
Yeah.
And you're with an offensive coordinator and a head coach now that use a lot of tight ends in what they do. They'll put two of them on the field sometimes. They'll put three of them on the field at the same time. And they've got the bodies to do it, and I like their potential. I think all of them play a pretty good role well. I'd be interested to see how they kind of expand their games. But when you talk about being inventive with your personnel, tight end positions where you get a lot of that creativity in modern football, and I think Auburn's got it.
Jaws?
Heavily underrated still because of all the talent that they have. They've got like six or seven guys that they could play, and if Grant Calcaterra, I don't know how you pronounce his last name, from Oklahoma would have stayed, that might be the best tight end position group in the country.
Like, it would have been deep, yeah. It would have been a very deep group. The only one I would think where you would say could be better would probably be Iowa, just because Iowa always has really good tight ends.
That's the default answer,
yeah,
right?
But, I mean, yeah, the amount of depth there, especially at a position group that's kind of fading out, unless you have a guy like Kyle Pitts, who is basically just a glorified large receiver that can do a lot of different things.
He's a cheat code.
Yeah, he's really, really good, and I think that's where the group is moving in the future.
And the newest New England Patriot in a few months.
That would be nice.
15 overall, it's happening.
That'd be nice.
Yeah. All right. Last one, Kobe Hudson.
Oh, boy. Let's say underrated. I'll go underrated with that.
That's the correct answer.
Yeah, that is the correct answer. No, I like Kobe Hudson a lot. I think he's got some of that, you know, kind of with some of these other guys. Auburn's got like Tavarius Dawson. These former quarterbacks who moved to wide receiver, they've had a good track record at Auburn. You know, I think he's got a lot of really good athletic talent to him. I think they're going to have to rely on him. The fact that he got a decent amount of snaps last season, even if he didn't get a ton of catch. I mean, like, it's him and Capers, and with the way that Elijah Canyon finished the season, like, those are the guys you kind of want to build around for the future. Hudson's a talented player. He's got a lot of upside to him, and I think there's a lot where he could kind of be like what we thought Matthew Hill was going to be coming out of high school.
Sure.
So we'll see.
Are there any other adjectives you would put with Kobe Hudson?
I wouldn't, but I know there are
all
some
right. What about you,
there.
Jaws?
You know, I think this whole receiver group is underrated, so I think Kobe's definitely going to find himself this year. I think he's going to have a breakout season. He's too natural not to.
There it
let's
is.
Just,
there
let's
it
keep is. It real. Let's keep it real.
I'm very curious to see who all steps up at that receiver, because, like, Capers is an easy one. Hudson's an easy one. Canyon, with how he played in the bowl game, is an easy one, but, like, you know, what about a guy like Javarius Johnson? If he can stay healthy, is a big one. Malcolm Johnson Jr. can fly. You know, how do any of these freshmen step up and play right away? And I also, I mean, it hasn't been a group that they've talked about a ton in terms of the transfer portal, because there's so much depth there and so much youth there. But, like, if Auburn could find an experienced pass catcher in the portal,
yeah,
would be willing to get. Well, I wouldn't be surprised if they made a run just to find a leader out there.
What about this? Overrated or underrated? Elijah Canyon's bowl performance.
Overrated. I don't think he's going to be that consistent. I don't think he can.
Yeah, I mean,
think he can, Yen?
It depends. It depends, because it's a new staff, right? Like, it's a new staff. Like, it's not necessarily indicative of what he's going to do in the future. There's going to be a lot of competition at the position. So right. I wouldn't, like, if he comes out next year and he's not a top guy, I wouldn't say I'm surprised, or wouldn't say, oh, they're underutilizing him. It's just, yeah, I mean, it's a different thing. He had to step up in a spot where it's like, oh, some of your best receivers aren't on the field. We got to do something with it.
And he did it. Props to him. And Bo Nix gave him a chance too. So that was nice to see. One more time, what's what all is going on at auburnobserver.com, and how folks can be a part of it?
Auburn football and Auburn basketball analysis pretty much every day. You get a story or a podcast of some kind. We have a podcast, a free one on Sundays, where we recap usually the Saturday Auburn basketball game these days and talk about what's going on. You know, with the football program, you can find that wherever you listen to your podcast, or you can sign up at auburnobserver.com and get the emails. You get that, you get a bunch of stories, you also get a premium podcast that we release on Wednesdays or Thursdays.
I'm a little behind on y'all's podcast, but I should be catching up over the weekend. Hey. But there's one called Painter versus the NCAA.
Yeah, that was Wednesdays.
I'm really intrigued by that.
Painter got fired up. He got fired up.
I love it when he gets fired up.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He got pretty heated about the NCAA, and he should. They suck.
Yeah, they're terrible.
Yep.
Jaws?
Follow me on Twitter at InternJaws.
Love it.
InternJaws.
InternJaws. There it is. People know where to find you. And you can follow me on Twitter at ZBlackerby. Show on Twitter at Locked On Auburn and on Instagram at Auburn Podcast. We'll be back on Monday right here on Locked On Auburn.
It's the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.